I'll say we're coming to meet order at 3:20.
Found them, he's catching you on a boat.
March 17th. For the record, President and Chairman Roper, Vice Chairman Halko, President Sanders, Rice, Cisna, we have a forum to conduct business. Today we're going to be taking up later HB 101 ad. And with that, we'd like to quickly review some of the governor's appointees to various boards and commissions. We have a few questions to ask to come and give us some testimony. The others will just
put their hair cut different and shoot on. They said they found Hoffa.
Excuse me. First, I'd like to go to Fairbanks and hear from Miss Blair Marcotte. Miss Marcotte, are you available?
I like her. Huh?
Very good. Welcome to the Labor and Commerce Committee. Could you give us a very brief background about the Labor Relations Agency and what you do there?
Well, I was appointed 3 years ago by Governor Noll to sit as a member with a public seat on the Labor Relations Board, and the governor asked if I would consider a reappointment. So I have, again, been asked to sit in the public seat as a volunteer to sit on that board and do hearing work if it goes from the hearing officer who need the panel of three to have hearings.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that you, what would be a typical case, Ms. Marcotte, that you would be hearing?
Oh, well, I guess one would be somebody that was wrongfully dismissed, say they were accused of union organizing on company time, and there was a question if they were, in fact, doing that. If we had a case like that, there could be a case about unfair labor practices. There's quite a few cases, way more than we wish, because there's a tremendous backlog at that agency of unit classification changing, unions changing the job description is what some of the unions would like to have happen. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
You're doing just fine. That's fine. Are there questions of Ms. Marcotte by the committee members? Representative Bryce.
Just a quick statement, Mr. Chair. I've known Ms. Marcotte for a number of years, and through her work not only at 942, which is also the labor hall that I'm out of, but also through her diligent work at the BBB and many other activities. She's very involved in the community and a very qualified individual for this position. I appreciate her willingness to serve once again. Thank you, Blair.
Thank you for all your work, gentlemen. Ms. Murkowski, if you're there.
Thank you.
She is. And
Ms. Cisna.
Yes, and Ms. Cisna. Are there any further questions by the committee, Ms. Marcotte? Well, Ms. Marcotte, thank you for taking the time out of your day to come briefly before the committee. The committee would like to thank you, and the people of the state of Alaska would like to thank you for taking your time and serving in a public position that probably gets little reward other than the good job that you're doing. So we want to thank you very much for that.
All right, well, thank you, and I hope you can continue to support the very short, small staff there. They do a lot of work for the nickel that they get. So I have to also say, as a volunteer, they really give a lot of themselves. Ask for their support.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say I always support the short, small staff.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's a bad joke. It's going to be a $5 fine. Do you have to make a motion to move? Yeah, we do need to make a motion.
You want?
We need the paperwork, a lot of paperwork. We have individual pages for each particular person we'll be taking up today. Each member has to sign these. We move to, when we do so, move a motion on each individual. And with the motion, it's understood that any signature or agreement to move does not reflect on the intent of any member to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions on the, for the purposes of confirmation. So this is not a vote that binds folks to do that. Can I hear a motion to take up and move the confirmation of Ms. Markoff?
Mr. Chair, I move the nomination of Blair Marcotte to the Alaska Labor Relations Board.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, thank you very much. Next, we'd like to go to Ketchikan. I understand, Ms. Ridgely, you have a time constraint. Are you there in Ketchikan, ma'am?
Yes,
ma'am. Welcome to the committee, ma'am. And this is, this is workers' comp.
We don't want to do the other one, the labor relations.
Well, she has a time constraint. So bear with us, Ms. Ridgely, just one moment. We're trying to find your resume because we shifted gears here.
The last one.
The last one. Nancy Jo Ridgely of Ward Cove, Alaska. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Ridgely. And you are on the Workers' Compensation Board, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And how long have you served on the board?
Since 1992.
Pardon me?
Since 1992. October of 1992.
Very good, ma'am. Is there questions of Ms. Ridgely of the committee? Ms. Ridgely, what type of activities is the board engaged in? Could you kind of just explain that to the committee?
What kind of, I'm sorry, I do not understand you.
I'm sorry, what kind of activities do you conduct in your position on the board?
We do disputed hearings between an employee and an employer and make a decision determining whether they receive medical benefits or any type of compensation for being injured.
Very good. And how long have you served on the committee, ma'am? Since 92, did you say?
Since 1992, yes.
Well, very good. I appreciate your coming in, Ms. Ridgely, and if there's no further questions, I want to thank you and thank you for the committee and for the people of Alaska for serving on the Workers' Compensation Board. And we will be forwarding your name to the joint session that usually happens at the end, about the end of the session here for confirmation. Thank you. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
So you need a, here we go. You want to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Nancy J. Ridgely for appointment to the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board.
Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Next, we'd like to go to Raymond Smith in Anchorage, please. That's labor relations.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Smith. Are you now a member, and how long have you served on the Labor Relations Board?
I am now a member. I have served 3 years and am up for reconfirmation.
Very good, sir. Is there any comments you'd like to make towards the committee or follow up on what Ms. Marcotte had said?
Just to reinforce what Ms. Marcotte said, the agency does an awful good job with a small group of people. We were noticing in the conference room here the microphone system and how nice it would be to see something like that in our board meetings. They're very clear and non-obtrusive and a fine asset. Would be nice to possibly see the agency use this kind of situation. Or just for your consideration, sir.
Well, unfortunately, it's not the Finance Committee, so you can do all the wish list down here you want, but your chances of any success are not too good. But I appreciate that we always can make improvements on our communications abilities.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Is there anything about, is there any statutory or anything else the legislature can do to help you besides a new system?
No, this board is functioning well. We are short one management person, but I'm trying to recruit somebody for that seat now. When we're short a board member, it really puts a strain on the other single member to handle all the hearings. So we try to help each other out and get somebody in those slots, and we hope the legislature will look favorably on those people. But Again, we need to get somebody to the table and volunteering to serve.
Well, there's six. Mr. Smith, how does the agency work? Do you you don't meet all as one board to take up an issue, or how does that work?
We only meet as a board in our quarterly meetings. But for the hearings, there is a three-board panel, one from each segment, labor, management, and public. And those people hear the case and then deliberate and make their decision.
Very good, sir. Any questions of Mr. Smith? Any further questions? Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Smith, you represent labor on the board, and you are a member of your business agent for the Painters and Allied Trades, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you represent this area down here, Southeast Alaska?
Yes, sir. We represent the Painters and Allied Trades represent everything south of the 63rd parallel of the state of Alaska.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Certainly, Mr. Smith can well recommend that he went to West Anchorage High School. He graduated in 65. I happened to graduate in the last class of Anchorage High School in 61, but was a West sports guy. And the first West High School football player.
Mr. Chairman, you're not partial to this gentleman, are you?
Because he's got to be a good guy, right? Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Question, Reverend Murkowski.
Just asking a question. Mr. Smith, do they attempt to get geographic distribution on the board? I don't see that as any part of the requirement here.
Geographic is not. I think the only requirement is regarding your affiliation with Democrats. No more than three members of the agency may be members of the same political party.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read it verbatim, ma'am.
Thank you.
For the questions, Mr. Smith. Well, thank you, Mr. Smith, for coming for the committee today. We appreciate your time and also your time and service on the Labor Relations Agency. And the people of the state thank you, and we thank you very much, sir.
Well, I'm happy to serve. Go Eagles.
Very good. What's that, Howcroft?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. As an East High School graduate of 1982, I cannot in good faith advance Mr. Smith's name for knife. Yes, go Thunderbirds. Mr. Chair, I move the name of Ray Smith for the Labor Relations Board.
Are there objections? Hearing and seeing none, so moved. Let's see. Take a brief adios. Go to the Workers' Comp Board and take up the Dorothy Bradshaw appointment. Any questions or comments, Ms. Bradshaw?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I know Dorothy Bradshaw. I've worked with her in a number of capacities with NAACP as well as Black Businessmen's Caucus. Very astute, hardworking individual, very involved in the community, and is definitely an asset to the board.
Great.
Is she currently on the board?
Yes. I think she's been appointed When was she first appointed?
96, according to this.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought she'd serve some time on there.
Make it sound that way. It sounds like she's in prison or something. Serve some time.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Some might look at it.
Keep an order here. Or don't take any of this down, Paula. All this bike play stuff. These guys need more discipline in here. Anyway. Any further comments? I've lost that. Where is that?
We look to you for direction, sir.
Scratch that from the record. You
can't lose this paperwork.
We are clay in your hands. Mold us.
Oh, did somebody move Ms. Bradshaw before I hit my
No. Mr. Chair, I move the name of Dorothy Bradshaw for the Workers' Compensation Board.
All right, let's take up next Philip Ulmer. Any objections to Dorothy Bradshaw? Hearing none, so move. Next, we'll take up Philip Ulmer. Philip Ulmer, special engineer. Oxford guy. Metro City manager. Anybody know Mr. Ulmer?
Pretty bad, ain't it?
Looks like he looks like a highly competent individual to me. Is there any representative outcome?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the name of Philip E. Ulmer for the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board.
Any objections? Saying that, so move. Next, we'll move to the State Medical Board.
Wow,
Ulmer. We're getting up Sheila Means.
I'm sorry, which?
Medical Board. We had requested a few folks from there, but we had a breakdown of communications with Ms. Reardon for contacting some of them, so we won't have the pleasure of interviewing any of these folks. I'd asked for about three out, but I felt were the more important commissions if anybody wished to testify.
I'm sorry.
We have before us the name of Sheila Means for the State Medical Board. Anybody know Ms. Means? Try to find a woman and member of the board. President Halcrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the name of Sheila Means to the Alaska Medical Board.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so move. Next, we'll take up Dr. Keith Brownsberger. The doctor's been on the list for a number of years. Anybody know Dr. Brownsberger?
I don't know Dr. Brownsberger, but I understand that he is, quote, a very good egg and should be continued on the board.
That's my understanding.
I went to school with his son, Ken.
Trouble.
Good guy. Favoritism. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the name of Keith Brownsberger to the Alaska Medical Board.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Next, we'll take up the Board of Nursing.
Nice.
And Barbara Berner. Experience on Golden View Drive in Anchorage, Alaska. Registered nurse. Impressive resume. Representative Halker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the name of Barbara Berner for the Board of Nursing.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so moved. Next, we'll take up the State Board, the Registration of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. And we have before us the name of Linda Kara Krogsgaard, I believe. Which I think is she's been on there before, she's only got a name.
What are we on now? Architects, engineers, and land
surveyors.
Yeah.
Right.
Nyman Hayes. Can't be too bad.
I put them on top unless you want to view them in some other way.
Do you need to
sign this one? Oh.
the comments I had heard on her were very positive.
Representative Murkowski, very positive comments. Anybody else care to comment on that? Seeing none. Representative Hacker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the name of Linda Sierra Korsgaard for the Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors Board.
Okay, we do not penalize for mispronouncing names in this name.
Just let her rest.
Okay. Any objections? So moved. Next, we'll take up Marcy Davis on the same. AELF. She has a strike against her.
Well, why?
She's an attorney.
I'm looking at the descriptions here. I don't see a public member.
Present company accepted for the record.
So where does she fit?
Is there a designation?
Oh, one public member, excuse me. I'm assuming she must be that public member.
Public, it says public, right. Yeah, Marcy Davis.
Yeah. A lot of good work in the neighborhoods, Northeast Community Center.
Well, she survived with all the, that kind of, right? That group.
She's
right.
Senior counsel
to BP. Mr. Chair, I move the name of Marcia R. Davis for the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Next, we take up HLS Lance Neary. Any comments or knowledge here?
Seems nice.
Seems nice.
I'm going off the comments.
Good enough for us.
We went through this.
Boy, the criteria for getting on these boards and commissions is tough.
Hey, what do you have to offer, you know?
These are tough positions. Correct. Bodies are always welcome.
He has to offer trying to pronounce the names right, doesn't he?
Right.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of D. Lance Merrick for the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Next, chiropractors. Carol J. Davis, Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Comments? She's a Fairbanks, isn't it?
Tom,
I don't
we're
know
looking
her.
To guidance from you, Tom.
Of course, I don't participate in chiropractic much, but on the other hand, I haven't
I
heard
don't
any.
Either, but I should.
Right, I mean.
I think she looks pretty good.
Yeah, well, there's definitely been no concern raised by the Fairbanks community regarding her, so I would say that's a good sign.
I would just point out for the record, and I should have at the very beginning, that the committee and the various leadership folks in the House and Senate have circulated these names throughout the building,
yeah.
And this committee has received, to my knowledge, absolutely no negative feedback in any of the people that the governor's presented to us. So we are going to be taking up the commissioner designee of the Department of Labor on Friday. So if you want to sharpen your fangs, and you can get Mr. Flanagan if you want.
Watch out. It is St. Patty's Day, and he is an Irishman.
So. Uh-oh.
Mr. Chair.
Let's take up, where were we?
I move the name of Carol J. Davis to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Now we'll take up Stephen Messerschmidt, the chiropractors. He's a former College of Chiropractic. That's a famous chiropractic place. I know it's on TV yet. Well, you got the Western
He's a
Washington.
Chiropractor here in Juneau, though.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
Mm-hmm. And he was just appointed to the board in November, so he's brand new to this.
So He's too new.
You better take him while he's fresh.
He's too new to have made any mistakes.
Right. Representative Hauser.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Stephen D. Messerschmidt to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
Any objection to Messerschmidt?
No objection, but I might just point out that he does indicate that he was on the board between 90 and 93, so he's not a newcomer.
Ah. Very interesting.
A repeat offender.
Right. The reason why he wants back on there.
Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
They give each other three back alignments.
Let's have some order here. Pick up Sean Siegel with the Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
I hope there's a public position.
Yes.
Mr. Reardon, did you want to join us at the table, or did you have any comments that you want to, or are you just witnessing our deliberations?
Yeah, I'm witnessing. In case an issue comes up, I'll be here to.
That sounds
not nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't
have this.
Sean Siegel, Campfire, Boys and Girl Scouts, Last Chance.
This guy must be the app. This guy must be the
he's the
public.
Okay. That's what happened.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Sean C. Siegel for the Board of Chiropractors. Chiropractic examiners.
Any objections? Any minutes over? Next we'll go to the Board of Marine Pilots.
See the one.
Robert Berto. Uh oh.
We saw him earlier, didn't we?
No, this will be our last.
This is the Ketchikan. We've had further testimony. We had a sunset bill. This is going swimmingly on the board, as I recall. Any questions, comments about Mr. Berto?
Mr. Berto's comments, he's a son-in-law, a friend of mine, and he is very capable and very efficient. He's not a pilot himself. He runs Southeast Stevedoring in Ketchikan.
That's
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Robert M. Berto to the Board of Marine Pilots.
Any objections? Seeing none? So moved. Let's put these files aside for a few moments. And let's go ahead, these, please. We have before us House Bill 101. And before we have a comment from the sponsor, why don't we take up a motion for adoption of the committee substitute D version.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the committee accepts the working document House Bill number 101 version, draft version D.
Any objections? Seeing none. So moved. We have before us now the committee substitute for House Bill 101. Welcome to the Labor and Commerce Committee, Representative Morgan, sir.
Thank you, Chairman Rogenberg, and members of the committee.
Nice tie.
I'm trying to disguise myself, and it's not working.
You did disguise yourself as a legislator.
Yeah. As an Irish legislator.
I'm here to address House Bill 101, the original, but I guess I'm okay. This legislation is a vehicle to allow Alaska Department of Commerce and Economic Development the discretion to reinstate as a corporation a local telecommunication company that serves several communities in Western Alaska. After reviewing the facts and circumstances surrounding the issue, I hope you will agree this measure warrants our attention and support. Following are the facts surrounding the involuntary dissolution of Boostel. Boostel is a small rural local telephone company located in Aniak, Alaska, which provide local telephone service to 10 small villages in Western Alaska. Boustel was incorporated on November 10, 1969, and has been providing telecommunication service since 1970. Mr. Bob Culver Jr., the president and sole shareholder of Boustel, recently contacted Alaska Division of Banking, Securities, and Corporations to find out about registering a DBA and was informed that Boustel was no longer registered as a corporation with a division. Boustel had been involuntarily dissolved in 1993 for failing to file its biannual report and or failing to pay its biannual corporate tax for the period ending December 31, 1992. Upon investigation, it was discovered that Boustel's registered agent had failed to follow the proper statutory procedures for resigning as a registered agent, and his omission resulted in the involuntary dissolution of Boustel. Boustel, designated agent, was a sole practitioner in Anchorage, Alaska, who served as Boustel's general counsel. In the early 1980s, Boustel hired another law firm to do its legal work, but continued to retain the sole practitioner as its registered agent. The forms for Boustel's biannual report were sent to registered agent and were filed by the registered agent up to and including the period ending December 31, 1990. In 1991, the registered agent left the private practice of law, closed his office, and left a forwarding address for his mail with the U.S. Postal Service. The registered agent did not inform the Alaska Division of Banking, Securities, and Corporations that his address was changing or that he was resigning as Boustel's registered agent. State Statute 10.06.170B requires that if a registered agent resigns, the registered agent must file a written notice with the commissioner setting out the latest address of the principal's office of the corporation and the names, addresses, and the title of the most recent officers of the corporation. The commission must then immediately mail a copy of the notice to the corporation as at its principal office. On July 12, 1993, the Alaska Division of Banking, Security, and Corporation sent a notice by certified mail to Boustel, care of the registered agent, informing Boustel it had not filed its biannual report and or tax for the period ending December 31, 1992. And if the biannual report and or taxes are not mailed by September 19, 1993, the certificate of involuntary dissolution will be issued and the corporation will cease to exist as of September 20, 1993. This notice was returned to Alaska Division of Banking, Securities, and Corporations because the registered agent's forwarding notice had expired. On September 20, 1993, Boustel was involuntarily dissolved. Since the time of his dissolution, even after discovering the involuntary dissolution, Boustel has observed all the corporate procedures required by its bylaws and Alaska state law, including holding regular board of directors meetings and paying corporate income taxes. I understand the last hearing some thought was expressed about amending this legislation to include all corporations. For the record, I dropped this legislation on a narrow bias because from my research, it was my understanding this is the way the legislature had handled these types of issues in the past. I still feel that this is the best approach. If there are any specific questions, I have Bustel's attorney on teleconference and their lobbyist is here. Further, DCED is also here to speak on the legislation. I urge your support on this legislation. Thank you.
Representative Morgan, just yes. Before we open up the questions, just for a point of information and clarity, your original bill actually just included Section 10.
Right.
11 of the bill. And then when you were before the Special Committee on Utility Restructuring that had hearings on this legislation, there was the recommendations made by that committee as it moved the bill to this committee to see if we could come up with a method to try to avoid this type of situation in the future.
Yes.
So that's why basically the whole rest of the bill has been added. You have nothing to do with that.
Yes, everything but the...
You have to carry the baggage along with your bill. But and I just want to make sure the committee understood that, that the other provisions of the bill relate to trying to ameliorate the problem that occurred by setting in statute the mailing requirements and so forth, and that was a request of the prior the special committee. And we've done our best job of asking the drafter to look into the issues that were brought up there and added those to the bill industry substitute. Now, it thoroughly confused everybody. Are there questions of the bill sponsor? Representative Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Morgan, you mentioned right there at the end of your comments that you had drafted your legislation very narrowly for a very specific purpose. Now that it has been expanded beyond your initial specific purpose, are you okay with carrying the baggage, to use Chairman Roepberg's term?
Yes, if I have no problem with it, and if it's going to pass, my biggest concern is I wanted to keep on going and for other corporations to follow the strict guidelines to make it easy for them. I have no problem with the amendments.
Further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Morgan, it says in here that even after the Bushtel was involuntarily dissolved, they were still holding board meetings and paying income tax. And I guess maybe I should say this for a question for Terry, because he's here, but the owner never knew that it had been involuntarily dissolved. I mean, but he continued to pay his income tax. Did he get any kind of receipt or any kind of notification?
That, could I have my either turn or his lobbyist answer
that
question?
Why don't we, you want to hold that question?
Sure, should I save it for Terry?
No, we have actually the counsel of Bushtel's on teleconference here. Further questions of Representative Morgan before we take the other testimony here right now? I would like to go to the teleconference hear from Ms. Heather Graham, who is the counsel for the company.
Yes, thank you. This is Heather Graham. I'm a partner with the law firm of Dorsey & Whitney in Anchorage, and the firm represents Bushtel. In response to Representative Halper's question, Bushtel did continue to follow all corporate formalities. I do not believe, though, that it paid filed a biennial report. In fact, we tried to file one on Bushtel's behalf this year, and the Division of Corporations rejected it. But Bushtel did follow all other corporate formalities, including such things as holding regularly scheduled board meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did they, and it says in the sponsor statement that they continue to pay income tax, and the reason why I ask is I sure hope they're not faced with any kind of a penalty if they've been paying, even though it was involuntarily dissolved.
Well, that's one of the purposes of trying to get this bill through, because if the bill doesn't go through, then there will be significant issues relating to income taxes.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Graham, is that because, this is the chairman, because they would perhaps lose their corporate status and they'd have to recalculate all their tax and other obligations under different organizational structure?
That's correct, and frankly, one of my biggest fears is that, for example, the IRS would then attribute any income that Bushtel received from 1993 on to Mr. Colliver himself. Mm. That's why the
relationship
back
position
is so
important. He could potentially be, his business could be constructed as a sole proprietorship, possibly. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Hold on. Mr. Burke, you want to take that chair out in the hall and put it there before somebody might sit on and hurt themselves?
Put it so that no one will
get it out and shoot it.
Guy like me would.
Take it out in the hallway and shoot it.
Yes, sir.
In case it's still alive.
For the record, the chairman speaking of a chair in the committee room. I hate for somebody to be listening to this tape in a year or so and go, wow, the hostile committee that was.
Suicidal tendencies.
I want to make sure that we had a wounded chair here that had to be taken care of. Thank you, Mr. Burke, for taking care of that. Forgive me. Ms. Burke, I rudely interrupted you. Did you have anything to... Were you at... Help me, I'm having a bad day. Anybody have a question? Please, somebody have a question.
I wanted...
Go ahead. Hallcroft.
I wanted to get back on this penalty aspect of it. Because the corporation was involuntarily dissolved, or Bushtel was involuntarily dissolved, do they have to pay a penalty because, I mean, are they faced with a penalty for, let's say, the last 6 or 7 years from the state? I mean, I understand about the tax implications, but as far as the state, are they facing any kind of a penalty out of this kind of failure to communicate?
Yes. There is a penalty for failure to pay a biennial report, and that's set forth under Alaska Statute 10-06-815, and it is a penalty of 10% of the amount of the biennial tax assessed. But, you know, frankly, I think the biennial tax in this period of time was $60, and if that's correct, that penalty is pretty nominal.
Thank you.
Representative Harris.
So, just to follow up on what, Mr. Chairman, what you had said earlier, all the other sections besides Section 10 and 11 are referring to the method that they will notice
in the future.
They will notice.
And they have been doing that, but we're going to codify it. So, it's going to, okay. So that's Representative Morgan's bill, and the bill for Bushtel is really in that one section.
And not to move too fast, but the amendments on our desk have to do with that subject as well?
Right, with the mailing procedures, nothing to do with the subsequent portion of the bill. Right. Ms. Graham, in the special last committee, there was some talk about, the first question is, what were your legal remedies? Under the corporate code, could you not go to the courts and receive a reinstatement?
Absolutely not. If we had been able to do that, we might have looked at that, or we might very well have done that. The reason why we couldn't go to court is going to court is a remedy only if you made a timely demand in response to the notice of dissolution. Okay. And the timely demand is a 60-day period after the notice of dissolution is sent out, and since the notice of dissolution was sent out in 1993, we are obviously way beyond the 60-day period that's now 1999. So there is no remedy other than a statutory remedy, And I would like to point out that this has been done several times in the past, and you can see that by looking at AS 1006-960-I and K, where amendments have been made to the Corporations Code to legislatively reinstate Alaska Native corporations that were involuntarily dissolved. And this is the only remedy for Bushtel, a small rural telephone company.
Well, Ms. Graham, I thought there was some conversation I recall. Doesn't the Alaska statute allow reinstatement within a 2-year period?
Yes, but again, when the state dissolved Bushtel, the notice was sent only to the registered agent. And as Representative Morgan indicated, his forwarding address had expired. So the notice was returned to the state, and the state never contacted Bushtel itself, its president, or anyone associated with the public utility. And so the latest that it could have been reinstated by the Division of Corporations would have been 1995. And Bushtel didn't discover the dissolution until 1998.
So as a practical matter and constructive matter, the 2-year window will not work for you, but that is available in the law. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Because one of the issues before the special committee was the potentiality of deviating from the 2 years and expanding that window to allow a pleading in court for reinstatement under a longer window. For example, say 4 years to help remedy this problem in the future. But I think we'll bring that up with the department, and they've objected to that. But would that have helped you, or could that help other corporations in the same straits?
It might help other corporations, but I recall the Division of Corporations testimony on that, and my recollection is they felt that might dissuade corporations from acting responsibly. And I think the Division of Corporations' view was that if notice was actually given to the corporation, that really ought to cure the problem. And so on this sort of an issue, I think I would prefer to defer to the corporation division.
Right, they are here. Mr. Elder will be testifying. Is there, as counsel to Bushtel, would there have been other corrections in the law that you would have liked to have seen? Or is there anything else besides the mailing requirements that we have and we'll be modifying somewhat today that could help other corporations in the future?
I really appreciate that question. Your question absolutely comes from the right spirit of a public servant and a person that really wants to improve life in the state of Alaska. And I think the bill, as long as notice has to be given to the corporation, I think your amendments that I saw today cure the problem.
Okay. That's good. I appreciate your comments, Ms. Graham. Particularly, no, I won't get into that. Further questions of Ms. Graham? Representative Murkowski.
Thank you. Ms. Graham, I don't know whether you have the answer to this or not. Looking at Section 10 regarding the reinstatement, it allows a public utility corporation until the end of the year to do the reinstatement. Is there anybody else that's in a similarly situated circumstance, or is it just Bushtel?
I'm not aware of any corporation in this circumstance other than Bushtel.
Okay. Thank you.
But it's a potentiality, and that's why it's broad enough not to ask for public utilities as opposed to being something that might be characterized as special legislation, which is unconstitutional in the state of Alaska. You need to be quite careful about that. Further questions of Mr. Graham? Seeing none, thank you very much, Ms. Graham. I appreciate your testimony and your review of the other provisions of the bill.
And I here, on behalf of Bushtel, I appreciate Representative Morgan's efforts and his sponsorship of the bill. And I really appreciate Representative Roberg and other committee members who are taking this up so quickly.
Oh, Ms. Graham, could you do Representative Morgan and us a favor by drafting a letter indicating the support for the new provisions on it, and that, that cure basically, could you replicate your testimony and memorialize it and send it to the committee, please?
I will, and I'll include positive comments.
Well, we appreciate that too. I wasn't fishing for a compliment. I think it might help the Representative Morgan's bill package on the floor for people to understand these new sections that we've added to it and how that fits in with your circumstances and makes the bill whole. I think that would be helpful by drawing it together if you could provide some a letter on that point.
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. And again, you have a great opportunity to fix a very large and serious legal problem for a small rural telephone company that's been providing high-quality service in rural Alaska since 1970. And Bushtel appreciates all of your help.
Well, thank you very much. Next, I'd like to hear from Mr. Elderson. Is anybody, do we have a sign-up sheet? Welcome back to the committee, sir.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Terry Elder, Director of Banking Security Corporations. Here to talk to you about House Bill 101. As you know, and first of all, I'll mention that ordinarily Don Williams, who's our corporations supervisor, would be talking to you about this, and she's much more knowledgeable about the corporations section than I am. But unfortunately, she's ill, and so I'm a poor substitute, but I'll do what I can for you. As you know, previously the division has submitted a statement in favor of House Bill 101. It was as it was originally introduced, and we continue to be in favor of the bill. We've had a chance to look at the committee substitute. It was faxed to us last night. We took a look at it today. And I spoke with your staff and made a couple of suggestions for it. But essentially, I think the from my understanding of this is that what your intention is to essentially codify our current practice. And I think to you know, except for the couple of suggestions I made, you do that. And I agree that the current practice and what is in this bill would lessen the likelihood of these problems in the future. So I think your effort is well taken.
We appreciate that, Representative Cass.
Thank you, Mr. Elder. With the committee substitute, does this change the fiscal note at all?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murkowski, with a couple of the suggestions I made to staff, it would not change the fiscal note.
It relates to the amendment to the amendment.
Yes. Without those, arguably there could be a small fiscal note that would be required.
Okay, so if I understand that there could be a small fiscal note if we stuck with the committee substitute, but if we accept the amendments to the committee substitute, it doesn't change.
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's exactly right.
Although there's an issue regarding some amendments to the amendment that we need to take up. Matter of fact, there's another person who wishes to testify on this bill, but after we have Mr. Elder finish his testimony and all your questions are complete here, we'll take up Mr. Rowe's testimony, and then we'll go back and have Mr. Elder come back to the table and talk about the amendment and see how this fits together. There are questions, Representative Alford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Terry, look at when you take Bushtel's case, for example. I mean, not only do they have the headache of having to deal with this, but the expense of hiring legal counsel to kind of deal with this. And it seems just because a piece of mail came back returned, undeliverable, I'm assuming. I noticed in your statement of support for House Bill 101, you say that we've increased our diligence in working with corporations to avoid the maximum extent possible inadvertent dissolving of businesses. Does this mean that when mail comes back to you that you actually physically look up where the corporation's headquartered or the utility's headquartered and call them and say, what's the deal? How can we get this to you? I mean, can you explain to me how we're making sure that this doesn't happen in the future?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huckrow, as described in that, what we're doing is And my understanding is, and this that predates me quite a bit, but my understanding is that the first mailing used to go just, or the mailing used to go just to the registered agent. By statute, every corporation has to have a registered agent and is supposed to keep the division informed as to the name of that person and the proper address. But and so the mailing was made to that. Current procedures are that we now, when we don't get a response to that, we mail it to the office, corporation office, and then to the agent, and then so other efforts are made as we, but primarily, you know, it's also a matter of staff time and availability. Primarily, we look to see what information we have in our record. You know, have they provided an address for the corporation office as they're supposed to? Is it different from the agent's address? Have they provided an address for an officer or a director? And if they have, then we make those mailings.
Thank you.
Representative Sanders.
Yeah. Terry, maybe I don't understand this situation, but I've been down this road personally. It seems to me like it would be the simplest thing in the world for you to write a letter to the place where the check came from when people are paying their tax. How do you accept my income tax check when I don't have a corporation?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sanders, the income tax goes to the Department of Revenue, not to us.
And you don't know anything about that. You're not connected to it.
No, we're not.
You don't have any access to it.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know what our access is to tax records, but I'd have to look into that. But we you know that the receipt of, as I said, the payment of income tax is separate from the payment of the biennial tax.
Mr. Chairman,
Okay.
Well, I'd just like to suggest that somebody in state government figure out how to find out where that income tax check came from. I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And doing this is just a band-aid. This is going to help this guy. There's still more people going to have it. And if you tighten this up, you won't have as many people having it, but you're still going to have people having it. And it's a real disadvantage to business people. And it just can't be that hard for you to check with another branch of the government and find out where that income tax check came from.
Mr. Chairman,
don't take it personal. I mean, it just upsets me. I mean, it is personal with me.
I understand that. I don't take it personally, and I will discuss that with our staff and see if there's any problems or prohibitions of having access to that information. I'll discuss it.
Please do. Thank you.
Representative Rudd.
And along those same notes, I would appreciate hearing back from you guys as to what you find out, because all of a sudden we have 5 pages of statute changes with another 3 coming along when I think Representative Sanders hits on a perfectly valid point. If the address on the check that the state's receiving, it's obvious that that is going to be inaccurate address that we could send something back to them. And there's got to be coordination between the governmental agencies on something like this.
Mr. Chair, I guess I can see a situation where the income tax would be paid by an accountant, an attorney, whatever.
They'd know where he was. They'd go tell him.
And in fact, in this case, that council could have even done it, and you'd still wind up with the same problem, right?
What?
The person who left the corporation, the agent.
But they paid their income tax next year. Somebody else paid it the next year, and the next year, and the next year.
Even after the deadline. I don't know. But it seems to me that it's a good thing to track down, but at the same time,
Mr. Elder, is that, Representative Sisson, does that complete your question?
I stay.
Well, yeah, and I guess what I am thinking is, yes, this is an enormous amount of detail. At the same time, can it be remedied by making it policy of the division rather than authority?
What, as I understand it, Mr. Elder, is that this is the policy now, and we're codifying your policy.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
But Mr. Elder and Ms. Williams may not be there 2 months from now, so policy only has its limitations.
Hope that's nothing personal.
Oh. Well,
she hasn't half a glass.
20 years. I'm not good at predicting. If I would, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be a lot richer in my stock predictions. Mr. Elder, is there, in looking at other states and the model code and so forth, is there any further, couldn't we look at the registered agent and tighten that up, mandating the responsibility of the registered agents to be current, and if they didn't, I mean, although the fact pattern in this case looks like the guy retired, he just disappeared, and so how do you discipline or go after anybody like that? That's,
Mr. Chairman, I think those are good questions. There's only so much you can do.
That's it. I mean, we did talk a good deal about this in the special committee, and I've talked to a number of people about what the alternatives are here. The main thing right now is making sure notice is delivered to somebody, you know, and that's why we've done this. It seems rather long and involved, but it's pretty fundamental from the reading. Representative McCaskill.
I'd just like to add a comment along those lines as a registered agent for several corporations. I have to fill out the biennial reports, and there's a fee associated with every change that you make, with the exception of the mailing address for the registered agent. There's no charge for that. So if I want to pass off my title as registered agent, my corporation pays, I believe it's $25, and, you know, so quite honestly, we're just... It's sitting with me because it's just more convenient that way. I just throw that out as food for thought that perhaps you might want to eliminate some of those fees associated with a simple change.
You're not the registered agent in question, are you?
I am not that counsel, but for the record.
She moved to Juneau. No!
We have further questions, Mr. Elder, at this time. We'll have you back, Terry, as soon as we take the testimony from Mr. Rowe. Mr. Rowe, sir, welcome to committee, Jim, and please give us your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jim Rowe, the director of the Alaska Telephone Association. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you in support of House Bill 101. Bushtail Bob Colliver is a member of the Alaska Telephone Association. Serves about 800 access lines in rural Alaska, provides high quality service, has done so for a number of years. Testimony I heard in the last committee from the Public Utilities Commission had no complaints about certification, no issue. Something that hasn't come up today, and after hearing your comments, I really don't think you need mine, but I'll add this to it. We're looking at advanced telecommunications infrastructure, which takes money, which takes loans, and a non-corporation will not be able to receive loans from Rural Utility Service or CoBank or whatever. So this is something that would have to be looked at if this drags on any time. I do appreciate your speedy pushing forth this bill. I did see the amendments that were put on it today. As far as I can tell, they look like they're good to avoid situations like this in the future. But for this particular instance, I appreciate your attention. Thank you for it.
Good questions, Mr. Rowe. Thank you very much, Jeff, for the committee. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 101? Anybody else wishes to testify? With that, we'll close the public hearing and invite Mr. Elder back to the table. Representative McCaskill.
Before we pick up these amendments, can I just ask a brief question to Mr. Elder?
You certainly may.
Thank you. Mr. Elder, to your knowledge, are there any other corporations, public utility corporations or otherwise, that are similarly situated to Bushtel that might need to be notified of this legislation?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murkowski, not to my knowledge, sir.
Very good. Mr. Elder, there's you took a brief look at the D1 amendment by Bannister of this date, and then Janet, could you join us at the table briefly? The site has also had some communication with the drafter on this. So. Looking at the D1 amendment in front of us, Ms. Seitz, you want to go through this and any other amendments to the amendment that might be required here?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Janet Seitz, and I'm a member of Representative Brokberg's staff. The amendment is to provide that the division or department doesn't have to mail by certified mail every time they mail one of these notices. Its intent is to provide the first notice by certified mail. And then it also is to provide that if there are duplicative addresses, it's mailed to the registered agent, it comes back, then they go to the next person that has the same address. They don't mail that to the same address. They go down this list of people until they find somebody that has a different address. This was what Ms. Bannister sent over. Mr. Elder has some concerns with a couple of where she's taken a certified out and put it someplace else. Would you like me to go section by section there, Mr. Chairman?
Let's see. Why don't, Mr. Elder, you have the amendment D1 in front of you?
Yes, I do.
You made some corrections, and then I've got your markup copy, but it's got a yes and a no on a couple of them, so you want to...
Oh, yes and no.
Okay. You want to comment on the amendment before us, Mr. Elder, sir?
The markup copy, you saw.
Oh, here, right.
I have the one. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Seitz explained, the idea is to codify current practice, and the current practice, therefore, there won't be any increase in cost. The current practice is the first mailing is a certified mail. The following mailings are first class mail, and so in transmitting that to Ms. Bannister, I think she took it a little further than she needed to do that, so that in your D1 amendment, the first two items there on page 1, line 10, and page 2, line 22, where she deletes certified and by certified mail, that shouldn't be deleted because that's referring to the first mailing, and therefore you wouldn't want to delete certified in there.
That's the page 1, line 10?
Page 1, line 10, yeah. So you wouldn't want to do that. So you'd want to cross that off of the D1 amendment.
Well, quick question on that, Mr.
Chair. So you want to delete that. So you want to leave that alone, right?
Yes.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wright.
By inserting by certified mail, though, on page 2, line 22... after item, both of these sections, B and D, reference as provided by an I, and if you put an I by certified mail, you cover certified requirements for B and D.
Right.
So I would suggest that it's just
a different way of doing the same thing. And that's fine. If that's the intent, then that's fine. I was just concerned when I saw that the intent here is not to eliminate the requirement for certified mail.
Let me ask you this, though. Going back to Section 1, though, that's not about this. Well, it may not be dissolved unless... okay. Yeah. 633 is the dissolution section. Is that not correct? Right. Okay. That would work by... so. You would delete page 1, line 10, you leave that alone. It's okay to delete certified, right?
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Bryce is correct that what I'm saying and what this is saying are the same thing. You do it either way. I was simply saying that you didn't have to make these two changes, but you certainly can do them and delete certified there, put certified in page 2, line 22. That would do what that essentially would do the same thing that
I'm
suggesting.
It's a well,
that's
right.
It's
the redundancy.
It's subsection I is where the first certified mail is recited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just concerned because I'm not familiar enough with the statute or that chapter to leave certified up here. But Mr. Elder has to live with the statute, so I want to make sure we're doing the right thing.
Well, and certainly, Mr. Chairman, if you were going to delete the certified out of section 1, line 10 on page 1, you'd certainly have to insert by certified mail on line page 2, line 22. You'd certainly have to do that.
Well, that seems to me the cleanest and most consistent, because definitely page 2, line 22 has to go in there. Is that right, Ms. Bites?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Did the drafter have a recommendation on this amendment? Or?
No, she just sent the amendment over.
Oh, didn't you contact her? Or?
I talked to her about getting the amendment done, but this is all what she sent.
Oh.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, then with that understanding, I wouldn't have any objection to it the way it is. I mean, I think it's doing the same thing. You need to do it this way or...
So your X's, you want to withdraw them on the front page? What about page 2? I mean,
yeah, we should go through each one just to make sure, because like I said, I only saw this when I came over here. So
right.
Yeah.
It's quick reading. I appreciate that. All right, I really don't want to hold this bill up anymore. The rest of them are for the first class provisions. On the
yes.
And reline... That's the different address thing. Well, let's go to page 3, line 14. What we got here?
That's the same
kind
of.
Yeah.
And
how does this differ? This is in the 335 section here.
And again, Mr. Chairman, I think the fact that, and I was putting X's through that simply because we didn't want to give the impression that there would be no certified mail. But if we add the certified mail as we have in section I that this references, then you certainly can read them. And therefore, I would withdraw my X's on the page 3, line 14, line 24. Line 31, and also page 4, line 6, and page 4, line 10.
Page 3, line 24, the drafter wants to delete by certified.
They're essentially, those deletions are essentially equivalent to the very first deletion, page 1, line 10, in the different...
But the amendment deletes by certified mail on line 24, page 3.
That's probably because that's what it...
Right, but then it goes on in the next sentence and says that the mailing is in accordance with 633I, which tells me that certified mail.
Well, that's why. Though.
Right.
29.
Then the balance of it is just consistent because that's about the LLCs and LLPs, I take it, the limited liability organization.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
So that's why it's redundant and a longer bill, because we're actually hitting corporations and limited liability corporations.
That's correct.
So, in your view then, Mr. Elder, is the amendment adequate for the job?
Mr. Chairman, upon going over it with the committee, I would say it looks fine to me.
Does everybody on the committee understand what the amendment does? Then? I hope I do. And just will tripwire by having just the one certified mail and leaving the other ones in the new subsection I is consistent with your practice now, and therefore there will be no fiscal.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Any questions on the amendment? We'll mark this as amendment number one. Representative Brown?
I move amendment number one.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Representative Bryce.
I move CS for House Bill 101, Labor and Commerce, as amended with individual recommendations, and I don't believe there are fiscal notes.
Previous fiscal notes.
With fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, so moved. Thank you very much, Mr. Elder, and Representative Morganson.
Thank you.
With that, we'll quickly take up the other appointments as rapidly as possible. Maybe we can list machine gun. Oh, let's go off the record. On the record, and we have before us the
Sandra Seminago.
Sandra Seminago from the Board of
Marital and Family Therapy.
She's the public member.
Yes.
She's good from lady. Fairbanks, you know.
Good lady.
Representative
Howard. Mr. Chair, I move the name of Sandra M. Samaniego for the Board of Marital and Family Therapy.
Objections, hearing none, so moved. Next, we'll take up the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives, Marilyn Holmes, Juno. Ms. Holmes, I believe, is before this committee.
She was earlier when we extended the life of the board. Mr. Chair, I move the name of Marilyn Holmes for the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Let's take up the Board of Dispensing Opticians, Roberta Rockliffe, Palmer.
Mr. Chair, I move the...
I need to find dispensing opticians here.
You're there.
I know. I'm looking at my other...
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What's this? Oh, that's good.
You might need to see an optician there. She might be somebody you might want to get to know.
Roberta Rockwell, Chris Rowe. Let's have some decorum, Representative Baskin.
I'm sorry. Okay, dispensing opticians, and we're looking at Roberta Rockwell. Looks good.
Representative Housecliffe, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the name of Roberta Rockliffe for the Board of Dispensing Opticians.
Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Next, we'll take up the Board of Examiners in Optometry, Thomas M. Carter. Fairbanks.
Take a close look at this one, right?
Yeah, I have a comment on this one.
Carter.
The first one we've got here. Thomas Carter. Oh, that's the very first one. Okay.
Does he wear glasses? That's the question.
Take a close look at this one, Tom.
He's from Fairbanks. You know Tom Carter? Wait a minute.
Oh, there's my eye doctor.
He was also applying for the Chiropractic Examiner Board. He
sure.
just wants a position on a board.
Which is okay.
He wants some free health care.
Yeah. Those three.
He wants his eyes taken care of.
And they're good guys, right?
And the volunteer of the public service.
Well, he hasn't been convicted of a misdemeanor.
He's never been convicted.
Oh, jeez.
Let's have some order.
Well, that makes me feel so good.
Order in the court here. Representative Halcrow, let's move this.
He is the public member, so I suggest we just okay.
Well, thank goodness.
He was just appointed, though, the 11th of December, if anybody cares.
I appreciate your very meticulous.
Yeah, it always helps to have a new set of eyes on the optometry board. Mr. Chair, I move the name of Thomas N. Carter to the Board of Examiners in Optometry.
So moved, I'm ruling puns are out of order.
Yeah.
Next, we'll take up the Board of Examiners in Optometry.
We still have Eric Christensen.
Eric D. Christensen.
And John Corbett.
Yes.
Okay. The comments that I have regarding Mr. Christensen is that he's very thorough and very efficient, very good.
Very good. That sounds good. Representative Halcrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move the name of Eric D. Christensen to the Board of Examiners in Optometry.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Next, we'll take up the Board of Examiners in Optometry.
John Corbett.
Northwell.
John Corbett.
C. see more clearly.
Oh, gee.
All these guys are new to the board, but three of them are.
It can't be all bad if they're new.
He's an optometrist from North Pole. You ever heard of him?
Have not heard of him.
Yeah. We know about the North Pole guy, don't we?
He's been out there with the North Pole Vision Clinic since 1970.
North Pole and Vision in the same sentence?
He's a sourdough.
He's a sourdough.
Gotta be okay then. Mm-hmm. Representative Halker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the name of John C. Cobbett to the Board of Examiners in Optometry.
Any objection? Mr. Cobbett, hearing none, so moved. Let's take up the Board of Pharmacy. Margaret D. Soden.
Yes.
Ms. Soden was appointed to the board the 11th of December, 1998. She's a pharmacist from Fairbanks.
Representative Bryce, do you know Ms. Soden? Or?
I do not know Ms. Soden, but I do believe I know some of her relatives and stuff. Good family.
Good family.
Well, that's good. She's been licensed in Alaska since 1970.
Hot. Any objections to Ms. Soden? Hearing none? So moved.
Very involved.
Next we'll take up the Board of Professional Counselors, Tony Christman from Nome. Professional Counselor.
Tony Christman was just appointed in November from Nome. She's the mental health clinician at the Norton Sound Health Corporation.
I'll be a friend of Richard Foster's.
This is
probably
new,
treats him.
This is a brand new commission, so all these are new appointees.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Looks like she has a pretty substantial resume.
Mm-hmm.
She's been there for a while. That's a testimony.
I know this Robert Town. Let's see. That before,
wow, well-rounded, well-rounded experience.
Oh. All the way from Dallas, Texas to Normal.
Stress management for pilots, stress management for police, suicide prevention communities. Mr. Chair. I move the name of Barbara Tony Christman to the Board of Professional Counselors.
Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Next we'll take up Board of Professional Counselors, Ann Henry or Gina.
Ann Henry, just appointed.
These are all new.
Other experience. In my early 20s, I pursued political activism.
Oh, stop. Uh-oh. Right there.
It was a training ground for leadership, public speaking, organizing, peer counseling, crisis line work, and conscious raising. Since then, I've continued to use these skills. 12-step work, critical incident, stress debriefing, regression therapy training, and participated facilitating many workshops.
I should give her a call.
Any comments? Any questions?
She's a hypnotherapist.
Hypnotherapist? Yeah. What is that?
Don't know, but there is a national.
It's like a chiropractor that adjusts hips.
I thought it was a dance step. Okay. Representative Halker.
Mr. Chair, move the name of Ann L. Henry for the Board of Professional Counselors.
Any objections? Seeing none? So moved. Next we'll take up the Board of Professional Counselors, David F. Leonard, Esquire of Fairbanks. This is
He's the public member. Red
flag already. He would abuse Esquire in his name. Although I always thought it was cute. Are female attorneys Esquiresses or what are they? They're Esquires.
They're whatever
too.
They want.
Esquire
S. They're in charge, Mr. Chair.
Also a former teacher. Talk about well-rounded.
What is the...
Yes, public school teacher.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of David F. Leonard to the Board of Professional Counselors.
Any objection, Ms. Leonard? Hearing none, so moved. Board of Professional Counselors, Alan Moradi, Fairbanks, PhD.
Sure, from Fairbanks.
There
are a lot of professional counselors, a lot of need in Fairbanks. Yeah.
Any questions or comments on Mr. Marani?
He has the biggest veto.
He has the what?
Biggest veto.
Oh.
Counting by pages, huh?
Ida. Is that the new name for resume?
Yeah.
In
the God of the
Beat.
Boy, he is, yeah. He ought to be shut down just for doing 2-inch paper.
He's got some very good professional references.
Wow.
Way back to his days in Boy Scouts.
Aren't you impressed?
He's got to
Representative Alcott.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Alan A. Marotti for the Board of Professional Counselors.
Any objections, Chairman? Right, so moved. Board of Professional Counselors, Robert L. Pound, Anchorage. Last one on that. Comments, Ms. Pound. I've reviewed his resume. It looks like he's alive. Yeah, it says I'm better.
He's been working in King Co.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Robert L. Pound for the Board of Professional Counselors.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Next, we take up the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers, Vince Cohn of Wasilla.
Oh, 9/11/98. Just appointed last. Judy Kemplin. Yeah, that is a familiar name.
No, it's not at all. Well, Mr. Cohen certainly looks to have the credentials.
Oh, staff says that Mr. Cohen's a good guy because he graduated from Chugiak High School.
Well, I guess we'll be denying that. I guess we'll be denying that appointment.
Really? Well, given that, Rep. Sam Alcro.
Mr. Chair, move the Vince Cohen for the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Next, take up Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers, James Pig of Fairbanks.
Good guy.
Okay, therefore, any objection? Representative Hawkeye.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of James Haig, Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers.
Objections, hearing none, so moved. Next, take up the Board of Social Work Examiners, Danny Patella of Acreage.
Social worker.
Social work examiners.
What?
There's some that you burn.
In private practice for 10 years.
Thank you.
Looks good.
Okay.
Well, you just do yours all at once? Why can't I do that?
Well, because I came in. Well, I'm not even going to go into it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move the name of Denny Patella to the Board of Social Work Examiners.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Let's take up the Board of Veterinary Examiners, Connie J. Sanders.
It's Dr. Gore.
Dr. Sanders. Why is that?
Oh, he was amazed that there was a state veterinarian. He needs
the veterinarian.
No more about
yes.
Veterinary examiners. Dr. Sanders is from Anchorage.
Hey, are you sure that's not me?
Sherry, any relation?
As long as it ain't me.
WSU.
Is your sister or anything? Or?
A veterinarian with all vest?
Yeah, all vest. She's got the dog catcher.
It did.
It lost it. Yeah.
They do the UAs for them, huh?
Yeah, right.
Oh, shit.
Well, she certainly has experience here in
Anchorage.
Take them
off the telephone pole, I think.
As a vet.
Okay.
Bless you.
I love the skills part of her resume. Her excellent physics, math, and chemistry educational background.
Mm.
All right.
Cool.
Dogs have four legs.
Right. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Connie J. Sanders to the Board of Veterinary Examiners.
I'll just say how she does with nymphomaniac ovaries.
Oh, jeez.
That's a question best left to the state vet.
Let's see, the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, Paul Craig Anchorage. He's the good guy, I know him.
Okay. Paul Lawrence?
Paul Craig.
Paul Lawrence Craig.
Yeah. He was one of the, he was an oil.
What am I missing?
Well,
we're in Psychologists and Psychological Associates.
Right. Paul
Lawrence Craig.
I don't have him on my list.
I don't have him on my list.
No, I don't either.
Might be a new appointee.
Well, I mean, I've got his.
Well,
his
he should
bio,
be on the list, though. I've got the bio too.
Yeah. No, I've got Evan Crawford. We've got
he's
Crawford
got a,
on
got
here.
Got like he's got a piece of paper. He's in. That's all he needs.
Mm. Okay. What about Crawford?
Diplomat in clinical neuropsychology.
Now, what is a diplomat in clinical neuropsychology?
He'll open the door for you when you come in. Yeah. He'll say thank you when you write him a check after your visit.
What?
School.
No, he'll tell you to go stick it in your ear and make you happy to do it.
Deteriorating. Paul, you already had to edit this one down. You have fun with it.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Paul Craig to the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners.
Thank you, Representative Halker. Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Next, we'll take up State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, Joanne Bell Graves of Juneau. Uh-oh, she's got a hyphen in her name.
She's got a hyphen.
Oh, she must be
counselor,
especially qualified.
Make a thorough examination for her vita.
Yeah. Works at Joanne's Style and Hair Unlimited.
Yeah. Whoa,
bed
what
and breakfast. Hopefully, this
what
is a
board
public
is this?
Member. This is the public. She is the public member.
I hope. The Board of Therapy? What? Physical therapy? Right?
Physical therapy.
Come on, she's a hairdresser.
You got the right one.
She's therapy in a sense.
Probably well, she is a hairdresser.
Haircut
are
because can
the,
be very
are
uplifting.
Are we on to something here?
Think
this person is qualified?
Well, she was appointed by Governor Cooper to the Employment Security Board.
Oh,
yeah, we all know
another
Governor Cooper did.
Here.
She looks like she's Juneau, active in the community.
Well, Juneau warm bodies anybody that can get to go on a commission. You buy an extra beer at the hangar if you go on.
She does sit on the on the public. So.
We're getting any Juneau votes out of this community, I'll tell you about this.
They're laughing, you racist.
You too.
Objection.
Yes, ma'am. We're out
I'm
of order.
I'm going to have to take the gavel away.
The chair's out of order.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Joanne Bell Graves to the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board.
Okay, if there's no objections, so
maybe we can get a haircut or two.
Let us
freshmen
just have
a car. No. I'm this is a formal committee.
Yeah, it feels like it's Friday.
We're doing the state's business.
Workers' compensation.
Sign a recommendation on 101.
We already do.
Where's our bill?
Workers'
on 101. Right?
Yeah. We still have one more. We have short.
Yes, Schwartz, State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, Leslie F. Schwartz from Petersburg. Award.
She's working at Wrangell General Hospital. That's a good thing.
Now he's got a little elbow balance out the.
Is that where you were born
she
at?
Worked with Luke and Laura?
No, but when I was there, there were no doctors except on Wednesdays.
Wow, what happened if you got sick the other
well,
6 days?
That's why my mother
week.
Didn't have any children in Wrangell. She wasn't sure that she could deliver on Wednesday.
Well,
that's true story.
No delivery on demand.
My mother had children in every town that she lived in Alaska, with the exception of Wrangell. And the way she tells it is because Dr. Kuhn only came over on Wednesdays.
Couldn't guarantee Wednesdays.
So no delivery on demand.
Kuhn, that's a
familiar name. Wasn't a great guy either.
What do I know about him?
Oh,
he's a guy from
Doc Kuhn gets in a little bit of hot water.
Petersburg. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, what's his name?
Not afraid to say his opinion either.
Dr.
Coon. Oh, is that the guy that
right or wrong?
Is this the guy that just approved?
No.
Strike that from the record. The chair was well aware that Dr. Coon was not an appointee to any board of commission.
I'll edit all of this out. Except our motions.
Mr. Chair, I move the name of Leslie F. Schwartz to the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board.
Finally, that's the last one.
Yeehaw.
Objection, so moved. Look at it. Oh, we missed here.
What? Where?
You're pretty good. Is there still somebody online? Oh, my God.
Yeah. You're breaking up.
Those people have too much fun down there, and we're paying them all that big money.
They got a raise, by God. Did you see that?
Let's see here. Friday, we have, what do we have, Regina, on Friday's calendar?
121.
Confirmation of Commissioner Designee Flanagan.
Oh, and the big dental bill.
Dental care.
Yeah. Oh, Representative Murkowski will not be here. Who else is going to be at the center?
What day is that?
This Friday.
I'll be here.
I don't know.
Jerry, are you going to be in town for Friday? You never are. You going home? Are you working or something?
Just going home.
Are you working?
Just going home.
Going home.
Okay. Tom, you know?
Mike, I'd probably be going home too.
Okay. Tomorrow we'll have a quorum.
I'll have my daughter sit in for you.
I don't intend it. It's an important bill, though. And,
is it controversial?
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, it is.
121?
What is it? Oh, 121?
It's the dental